It is good to see you this wonderful evening. The Lord has things He wants to do in us and with us. And before I continue, I would like to be certain that I correct something I said this morning. The special meetings are not going to be the 8th and the 9th, but rather the 7th and the 8th of November. And we're looking forward to God doing a mighty work in all of our lives. I'm believing God to heal, restore, and make whole. I'm believing God to bring about total deliverance for every man and every woman that will participate during those 2 days of meetings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this morning we began sharing from the Word of God found in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and our discourse was about how Kish, the father of Saul, how he'd lost some very special animals. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish." Kish means bent. You know, that's an interesting statement, but, you know, God believes in people walking uprightly. But He chose this man called Kish, his family line, because there was something about them that caused them to just bend over. There was a certain flow in this family that had to do with worship. Amen? And he was a Benjamite, meaning son of my right hand. And it says, the son of Abiel. Abiel means God is my father. So I say, God is my father. The son of Zeror. Zeror is an interesting word because it means bundle, it means a pouch, it means a bag. And so this is a family line, and God is very, very specific about this family line because he's building something. He's building something. And he's been building this for generations. That's what I want you to see. That Saul is the son of Kish, but God has been working on something before he got there. And God has been working on something about your life. You didn't just arrive. Hallelujah. None of us just arrived. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, did not just arrive. Because when you read through the book of Matthew, you see the genealogy. You see where he came from. And as you look at it, you begin to identify, wow. Now, when you look at the genealogies, that of Matthew and the other gospel, you begin to find out that certain things or certain names were missed or hopped over. Well, because they did not come together concerning that particular story that needed to be told. May I say to you, are you here? Are you listening? There are some names in your genealogy that God is going today to hop over, because whatever they did must not affect your life today. Are you hearing? There are some people that God is, yeah, they existed, but we are hopping over that one. It's not part of the line. Amen? May God cause you to hop over anything that will create confusion in your life. Praise the Lord. Then it says the son of Bechorath. Bechorath means firstborn. Firstborn. Somebody say firstborn. Then it goes on and says the son of Aphia. What does Aphia mean? Aphia means I will make him breathe. May God cause you to breathe. Hallelujah. May God cause you to breathe. That means that you are not dead, you are alive in God. A Benjamite. And then this interesting word, a mighty man of power. And that mighty man of power means that he was a mighty man of wealth. He had resources. Hallelujah. Aphia, the one that was breathing, was a Benjamite. And then he says a mighty man of power. But that mighty man of power is connected to Aphia, but it's also connected to the person that we are dealing with, Kish. Praise the Lord. Now, the question then is this. Why does God not just continue keeping going, 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 going? Because that's not the point. But the point is, this man came from somewhere. Just like you came from somewhere. Amen? You came from somewhere. Hallelujah. You're not here by accident. You came here somehow. God has a divine purpose for your life. You have a history. And today, God is about to tweak that history. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because tonight, there is going to be a change in my life and in your life. And in your life, you listening online. Glory be to God. So this is the man. And the Bible tells us that they lost these asses. And Saul was commissioned to go find these asses. And he goes and starts looking and couldn't find them. He went from place to place to place to place to place. He started out going through Ephraim, then through Shalisha, then through Shalim. Then he comes to Zuf, which is the place of the honeycomb. And still couldn't find it. And Saul says, let's go back. But thank God for faithful supporters. His servant says, no, let's not do that. There is in this city a prophet. There is in this city a seer. May God place a seer, a prophet in our lives that will help us when we've come to the end of our road. Hallelujah. They'd come to the end of their road. They didn't know what to do. How are we going to get these lost animals? We've looked everywhere. Everywhere possible. And we can't find them. But it was not that those animals were lost. It was Saul that was lost. Saul thought that he was the found looking for the lost, was really the lost because he was not connected to his destiny. He was not connected to what, to the story that God had for his life. And now he needed a prophet. And he said, in verse 6, he says, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he is an honorable man. That is a striking statement because they are so-called men of God that are not honorable men. Hello. We, of course, know about the old prophet who deceived the young prophet and says, come, just come, come eat. You've already fulfilled your assignment when God told the young prophet, don't eat in this city. He was not honorable, but he was a prophet because he prophesied correctly and said, since you came here and ate, you're going to die, and a lion is going to eat you up. It was not honorable. So the gift is a gift. The character is something else. Amen? This man identified that Saul, or Samuel rather, was an honorable man. And all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Everything he says will surely come to pass. Now we do understand when we think about the prophetic word being mentioned, we do understand that the prophet Isaiah prophesied, Jeremiah prophesied, Daniel prophesied, but none of those prophecies, in some cases, actualize in their lifetime. Because prophetic statements are about timing. Some say timing. But if you are a true prophet, then what you say shall come to pass. Amen? Even if not everything comes within the time frame that you can see it, at least some of it will happen while everybody can see it. Amen? Make sense? Hallelujah. It says, now let us go hither. Let's go to him. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. He'll show us our way. He'll show us our way. So they did. And as they were going, God brought these maidens that were going out to fetch water out of the well, and they told them how they were going to locate this man of God. They were speaking prophetically to Saul and his servant. They told them exactly what was going to happen. They had no way in the natural. And this is what I want us to begin to hone on, that there are statements being made in scriptures and there are miracles happening right in front of you. And sometimes we just read through it and think, well, I guess that happened. No, nothing just happened. They were speaking prophetically because they have no way of determining when Samuel really is going to be there. But he said he's going to be coming out of that gate. And so it was that Saul and his servant met him at the gate. And he began to speak to them and minister to them. And in chapter 10, he anoints him. After he prophesied over him and told him that the real reason why he was there was because God has an assignment for his life. In chapter 10, he begins to minister to him. So the Bible tells us that he was anointed in chapter 10, 1 Samuel 10 and verse 1. And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head. Now, just before he did this, he told his servant to go ahead. There are certain things that you don't do. There's a spiritual protocol. I was ministering somewhere. Yesterday morning or afternoon. And I ministered to the congregation, and the power of God was so amazing. The power of God was doing extraordinary things. And people were just falling under the power of God like crazy. Healings taking place. And the pastor was there wanting me to pray for him right now. I said, no, not you. You I pray with in private. I'll pray with you in private, not before all of these people. You private. We'll do yours privately. Because who knows what God is going to say? Hallelujah. And how God is going to say it. Or what God is going to do. And so we were private, and the power of God hit that man Oh my. It was powerful. And that's exactly what this man of God did. He sent the servant, go. Go ahead. And he spoke privately. Sometimes you need to speak privately with people because you honor their position. You don't just blurt out all kinds of things. You honor. Somebody say honor. An honorable man do things honorably. Praise the Lord. It's not like the servant was less. No, but the position of this man is different. I've got to speak to him discreetly. So he anointed him, chapter 10, and began to let him know what was going to happen. See, Saint Samuel took the vial of oil, and that's what's going to happen to us tonight. Vial of oil, and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? The reason I poured this oil, is it not because God has given you a position of authority? Giving you dominion. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on, it says, when thou art departed from me today, then shalt thou find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. You will find two people who know why you came out here, and they're going to tell you the good news. Those animals have been found. The question I want to consider is this. If somebody else found these animals, they must have gone past where those animals were and did not see it. There are some things that God doesn't want you to see. Please hear me. There are certain things God doesn't want you to see because he has something greater for you. And I declare this day in the name of Jesus that anything that will distract you or distract me from the destiny God has for my life or for your life, that God will blind me from seeing that until he accomplishes what he wants to accomplish in my life. Then I will hear about, oh, what I was looking for, that has been restored. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please hear what I'm saying to you. Because we can be distracted. You can easily be distracted by flashy stuff happening all around you, and you miss out on your destiny. You get delayed because of this or because of that. Oh, you arrive and say, oh, what you were looking for just left 5 minutes ago. And you wonder, shee, I spent 6 minutes over in that place. If I had just been here, I would have just been here just on time. May you never be late. May you arrive on time. May you see what you need to see and don't see what you don't need to see. Praise the Lord. They've been found and your father is worrying about you. So we see when the anointing was released that there was dominion and there was restoration. And then the Bible says, in verse 3, it says, then shalt thou go on forward. Some say, then shalt thou go on forward. That is progress. Praise God. When the anointing comes upon your life, you are going to experience an elevation that reveals your true person. One of the things the Lord has been speaking to me about, the manifestation of his glory, was this. He said, the manifestation of my glory is not all the extraordinary things that I'm going to do. It is that. But the manifestation of my glory is the manifestation of the giftings and the abilities that I've placed in you as an individual, placed in you as a person. And in this year, you are going to tap into those things that God has placed inside of you. You are going to become aware of it. There's going to be a restoration. Hallelujah.
There will be no confusion. You are going to know what you are called to do. If God called you to be a mechanic, you will know it, you will know it, you will know it. And you stop pursuing some other crazy idea. It might be good for journey, but that's not your call. I am not going to be going to places and doing crazy things because that's how everybody else does it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to spend my all night on the computer and the dating site trying to find out that who's that beautiful woman there or that beautiful handsome guy. What is his qualifications? That is not my calling. Hallelujah. That might work for Mary or for Johnny, but for me, God has a perfect plan. It might be that I go into Sobeys. Hallelujah. Just pushing the cart and picking the tomatoes. And this guy says, that tomato picker knows how to pick the right ones. That might be my story. Hallelujah. So to Sobeys we're going, whether we know whether we are shopping or not. Glory be to God. Oh, well, it's got to be like this. It's not got to be like anything. It's got to be by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The person that needs to see me will see me. The person that doesn't need to see me will not see me. And Adam saw Eve, and he knew. This is not a donkey. Hallelujah. This is bone of my bones. How does he know? He was asleep. He was put to sleep when God took the bone out. And now he knows this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. May your Noah be awakened at the right time and at the right place. In Jesus' mighty name. So he goes forward, the Bible says, progressing. And they made these three men going up to God to battle. One is carrying three kids. That's interesting. You understand what I'm talking about here? One is carrying what? Three kids. That's three goats, baby goats. How do you do that? That's supernatural. That's not ordinary. Amen? He didn't say he was leading them. He was carrying them. You only have two arms. You're carrying three kids. And another carrying three loaves of bread. And another carrying a bottle of wine. Why is the Bible telling us this? Why is it? What he was looking for, or what he lacked, the Bible tells us, was bread. They ran out of bread. They didn't run out of wine. They didn't run out of three kids. But they ran out of bread, and there was two of them. And so the guy who was carrying three loaves of bread gave them exactly what they needed. And I say in the name of Jesus, whatever it is that you need will come to you. God will make provision for it. They didn't have to tell this man, give us two loaves of bread. We need two loaves of bread. No, they didn't have to. But wait a minute. They don't lack that anymore because they've been well fed. But if they ever had that need, God wanted to make sure he was going to cover that hole. Oh, yeah. Whatever need you had, whether it has been satisfied or not, God is going to make sure that you have an overflow. That is the point. Hallelujah. That is the point. God is going to make sure that you have every resource, every need covered to the overflow. If you ever had that need, he will satisfy it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that was favor. It says in verse 4, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Why does it say, which thou shalt receive? Because they didn't need it anymore. You are, and what is the point here? The point is this: whether you still need it or don't need it, if you ever needed it, receive it. I am a billionaire, but there used to be a time when I lacked $20. He said, God says, if somebody comes and gives you that $20, take it. Oh, I don't know if you're hearing me yet. Just what? Take it. Because there will be total restoration. Hallelujah. So I say total restoration. No need left unmet. Hallelujah. You need water? The water you're going to get. You need wine? The wine you're going to get. You need a kid? The kid you're going to get. But now you don't need the wine, you don't need the kids. All you need is the bread. You're going to get the bread. Take it. But I don't need it anymore. God says, take the thing. Hallelujah. I already have two cars. Did you need a car? Yes, I used to. Take it. Oh, I don't know if you're still hearing what I'm saying to you. Take it. So I say, take it. Say it again, take it. Say, I will take it. Say it, I will take it. It has been offered me, and I'm taking it. Now, in Jesus' mighty name. Receive it from their hands. Hallelujah. When favor has been released to you, receive it. Praise God. And then verse 5 says, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. We talked about that today. We read from Psalm 68 and verse 15 about Bashan being the hill of God. But this is the key place that I want to park for a few minutes. Because this is the area where the Lord says, except you bind a strong man, you cannot spoil his house. The hill of God, Psalm 68 says, is Bashan, is like the hill of Bashan. Hallelujah. And Bashan means fruitfulness. So I say fruitfulness. Praise the Lord. You're going to ascend. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and an hill as the hill of Bashan. Did you see that? He repeated it in the same verse 2 times. That's the God that you serve, saying, verily, verily. Amen? I ascend. Say, I ascend. The hill that is like the hill of Bashan, the hill of fruitfulness. I come to the place of fruitfulness, and I receive total fruitfulness for every aspect of my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So it says, and that I shall come to the hill of God. Where is the garrison, the military force of the Philistines? Now, that word Philistines means immigrant. That's what the word means, Philistine, means immigrant. And what is the word of God saying? It's saying that the forces of darkness migrated to this hill of fruitfulness. This is not their rightful place. They migrated here without permission, without license. We did not offer this one's visa to come settle here in the hill of God. Hello? Are you with me? Actually, let me do something here. Let's go to Psalm 68, verse 15. Didn't want to do this because of time, because I want to be certain that we pray for everybody here and lay hands on everyone here present. It says, the hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Verse 16, why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. God desires to dwell in this high place, in this hill of Bashan. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it for what? Forever. Next verse. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Come with me. There are thousands of angels. These are God's angels at the hill of God. Yeah? But the Bible is telling us about the garrison of the Philistines being here. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, watch this, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits. This is what happens in Bashan. This is what happens at the hill of God. God's military forces are there. Amen? And God loads us daily with benefits. Even the God of our salvation loads us with benefits in the hill of God. Are you with me so far? But there is a garrison of the Philistines. The question is, are we going to let that garrison of the Philistines that have migrated into this great place stay there? Or are we going to eradicate them by the power of the living God? Hallelujah. Next verse. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. The issues from death. In other words, God releases life, blessings from the place of death. Job said, he says, when, paraphrase, he says, when somebody dies, I collect all of the inheritance so that I can become God's distribution center to take care of the widow and the needy. Hallelujah. Where is he doing it? He's doing it in the hill of God. And watch this now, but God shall wound the head of his enemies. We're still talking about Bashan, the hill of God. It says, but God shall wound the head of his what? Enemies. And the hairy scalp of such and one as goeth on still in his trespass. What is this change about? There's no change, because the enemy always comes to the place where God is. Even Lucifer went up to where God was, with the children of God, with the sons of God. Are you with me? In the same water there's fish, there comes the crocodile, the alligator. Demons don't go to dead churches. Do you hear what I said? Witches don't go to dead churches. They go to a church where the power of God is present. You might think that is weird, but that's where they go. They go there because that's where the fish is. That's where life is. And they want to destroy that life. But today, there's going to be a reversal, because God says we can wound the head. Hallelujah. We will... Any diabolical spirit operating in there, in any life, in this church, in this ministry, and under this calling, today in the name of Jesus Christ, the hammer of God hits your head and smashes you. Amen. Glory be to God. They came here, they immigrated from wherever it is they immigrated from. But today, we will stop that immigration. Hallelujah. I said we will stop that what? Immigration. Glory be to God. The devil cannot operate where we are. Yes, it is a likable place where they will come to, but they will not succeed. For Jesus is Lord, and that's why he's loading us daily with benefits. Hear me. God knows that the devil comes and tries to... Who was his treasurer in the first place? Who was the money bag carrier? Judas. Was he the one that betrayed him? And the Bible says he was a thief. Why did God choose Judas? Because God was trying to show, no matter how much you steal, you cannot empty my pocket. No matter how much you steal, I am still around here. I can even cause gold to show up in the mouth of the fish. Amen. Glory be to God. God loads us daily with benefits. Resources. Have you tapped into the resources that God has for you? Because God has an agenda. The same God who stripped Egypt of all of his resources is the same God who stirred up Pharaoh to pursue after the Israelites because he wanted to bring them to the place of their destruction. Devils may show up where you are, but it's because God wants to get rid of as many demons as possible. One shot. One shot. Hallelujah. Let me read the next verse. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. Huh? I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. Wow. That thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. Somebody hearing? Are you listening? God has his agenda. Praise the Lord. And his agenda is victory is mine. Defeat is the enemy's. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 24. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Let's stop there and go back to 1 Samuel. I think I've shared enough for you to grasp the idea that in the hill of God, while there is the garrison of the Philistines, God is going to destroy these Philistines. And guess what? God mightily moved to make sure that the Philistines were crushed. These Philistines came from Crete. The father of the Philistines came from Crete to the land of Israel. And God was going to deal with them. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets. You're going to meet a company of what? Prophets. Coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Praise the Lord. They shall do what? Prophesy. So God is simply saying, now that you've received this anointing, you are going to come into a place where you are going to make contact. You're going to make contact with people that are going to be conduits through which God is going to reformulate your calling and your purpose. Before you are going to be a king, I'm going to make you a prophet. Hear that? Before you sit on the throne as king, I'm going to first make you a prophet. I'm going to cause the prophetic word to come out of your mouth. This was the wonderful assignment that God had for him. Did he tap into it? And did he continue with it? No. The next verse. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. You're going to change. You're going to be a different person. When you begin to prophesy, you are going to become a different person. When you begin to prophesy, you will become a different person. When you begin to prophesy, you will become a different person, another man. That's why Paul says, prophesy. That's why God says to John, prophesy again. That's why he said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these dry bones. The change is in the prophetic statement. But the prophetic statement comes out of a position, a placement of worship. The prophet said, get me a minstrel, let him begin to play. And as they were playing the instrument, he began to prophesy. These prophets were coming down, and they are coming down with instruments. Let's go back. Let's see. Verse 5. You're going to meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp. Are those all instruments? Yes. Instruments that they did what with? Praise God. Worshipped. You cannot prophesy the prophetic statements of God depressed. There's got to be a dance. You see, when music begins to play, I don't care what kind. You see, because beautiful music, every kind of music that is not noise has a beat. And it strikes on the beat inside of you, and while you're listening, your foot is moving, your head is moving. Before you know it, your hand is moving. Before you know it, you start moving. It's music. Hallelujah. Music gives you movement. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If there's life inside of you, music will give you movement. And in that movement, God will begin to use you to prophesy. Let's go back. Verse 7. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee. When all these things happen, when you have now received the anointing and you receive dominion, and now you are moving forward, and now you are ascending, and now you are progressing, and now all these things are happening to you, and you are prophesying, he says, at that particular point, I want you to know that you got permission to do whatever you want to do. Did you hear that? He said, whatever it is you want to do, it's okay. Make the decision what you want. You want to be a doctor? Go be the doctor. You want to be a chef? Go be the chef. You want to be a mechanic? Be the mechanic. You want to be a plumber? Be that. Whatever it is you want to do. Now that the oil of anointing has come upon you and God's word has now come into your mouth and you are prophesying, I'm telling you now, you will be able to do whatever it is you set your mind to do. Whatever you choose to do. This is what I want to do. God says, go do it. Why? Because the anointing is available. The anointing is flexible. It's flexible. The anointing will accomplish whatever it is that you need done. But primary thing, don't go do whatever it is you want to do that contradicts what the primary assignment is. My primary assignment is to minister the word of God. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want me to do other things, except if he says, don't do that. But the same anointing can make me an excellent businessman. But do I take on being doing a business and then adulterate by calling? Because now, well, I got to do this business. I don't have time to go preach today. Let me find somebody else to preach. And now we've got a problem. That's how demonic influences can come to play in the life of a person. So whatever it is you need to do, do it. So, but now you have to be careful what you choose to do with what God has given to you. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Verse 11 tells us that he began prophesying and people were watching and they started mocking him. It says, and it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? These are doubters. There are doubters that will come into your life and doubt what new thing God is doing in your life. They doubt it. We know him. It's not possible. When did he become a prophet? And then the Bible says, and one of these doubters said, answered and said, but who is their father? Who is their father? Therefore, it became a proverb. It's Saul also among the prophets. That was not a bad question or statement to make, because if you are part of a company and you're ministering prophetically, we need to know your roots. Where did you come from? Who have you been with? If I'm going to follow you, I need to know what I'm following. And so they were asking a very legitimate question and making a very legitimate statement. But this is the point. Whether people know where you came from or don't know where you came from, the fact is, and you shall be a changed man. This man, it's not the same as before. So, really, my father is Kish. Yeah, but Kish is not a prophet. Well, but I know something happened to me, and I'm changed. God did this. When you don't know that God did it, you start competing with other people. And this is what ends the life of Saul. He fell into the realm of competing with somebody else to prove that he was who he was. Competition. Tonight, our primary goal is to accomplish one primary thing. Those demonic forces that have immigrated into the place that God has assigned for you to be fruitful. Today, that garrison must be destroyed. Would you agree with that? Hallelujah. So I can enjoy my food, my time, peacefully. How are we going to destroy them? The Bible already told you in the Psalm, the hill of God has thousands and thousands of angels. So what are we going to do? We're going to release the angels of God to deal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the angels of God respond to the word. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying we have resources available to us that we have not used. This battle is not going to be my battle. This is going to be the battle of the Lord, getting rid of all the pests on this mountaintop. Amen? All I want is the anointing to function in my assignment. But I'm not going to allow the garrison of the Philistines in my mountain. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them. He's among what? Among his angels. As in Sinai, in the holy place. As in Sinai, what happened? Sinai, when the word of God was released, there was fire. Hallelujah. Fire. And those that did not belong died. There's a time for living and there's a time for dying. Not for me. My time is for living. But for my enemy, it's time to die. Hallelujah. Whichever way they are going to die, that is their business. Glory be to God. But poverty must die. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease must die. Fear must die. Restlessness must die. Shame must die. And if people are involved as my enemies, they too. Glory be to God. That's the way it is. Do you agree? Okay. Are we ready to pray? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those of you listening online, we are going to pray, and you are also part of this prayer. We are going to declare that the angelic forces of the Lord be dispatched now. And when the angels of the Lord are dispatched, what happens is that the enemy turns against himself and destroys himself. Hallelujah. I declare today in the name of Jesus Christ that even cancer cells will begin to attack themselves. In the name of Jesus. And they will come out of your life, out of your body, by the authority of the word of God. Everything that is evil around you will go after itself. Mama tells a story about what happened in the church that she grew up in. A great man of God called Archbishop Benson Idahosa was ministering. And this particular day, she says, Bishop said, doing something that he normally doesn't do, he starts dancing and jumps on the pulpit. And he's dancing on the pulpit. Can you imagine? that's got to be weird. Okay, and he's dancing and there's smoke or something like that. Is it smoke? Yes, smoke inside the church. And all of a sudden, commotion, people were fighting in the back. Lo and behold, those people were people that were sent to come kill him. And they turned themselves against each other. And they were arrested and taken out. Blessed be the name of the living God. I say in the name of Jesus, enemies are going to fight against each other. Hallelujah. And you are going to be a bystander watching them destroy each other. In the mighty name of Jesus. Do you receive this? Rise with me. We're going to pray this prayer. Then we are going to begin to lay hands. And when we begin laying hands on people, you'll see a few of it, but then we're going to cut off from you. But I want you to also take oil and lay hands on yourself where you are. I cannot reach you where you are, but God is not limited to time and space. Where you are, God is. And these hands are going to be anointed. Mama's hands are going to be anointed. Your hands are going to be anointed. And you're going to lay hands on yourself. And God is going to touch you right where you are, and there will be a change, a supernatural change. You will see it. It will be evident. But most of all, we are going to see the eradication of the forces of darkness from God's turf for our lives. Amen? Saul did not tap into everything God had for him. But we are not Saul. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are going to tap into everything God has for us. Pride and arrogance will not step into our lives and mess what God has for us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands before the Lord. Repeat after me. Father, I know that you are my Father. I have no God besides you. You alone art my God. And today, I come to you recognizing that you alone can change my life. You're the God who can elevate me. You're the God who can change my status in life. You can turn me, O God, into another man. Father, my roots are in you. You are my Father. Father God, move upon my life. I declare now that because you are my God, my provider, my peace, my salvation, my deliverer, that Satan and his cohorts cannot occupy the same space that I am in. I am in your heel, O God. I stand in this place and I say, O God, by the authority of your word, that the angels be released now to attack and destroy every garrison of the immigrants, demonic forces that have come to this mountain of the Lord, to this hill of the Lord. Angels of the living God, I am a child of the Most High God. Hear me now. Be dispatched. Go. Fight. Destroy every work of darkness. Leave nothing untouched. Destroy them all. Destroy them all. Destroy them all. Vacate this place of every spirit that does not belong here. In the name of Jesus Christ, poverty, you are destroyed. Sickness and diseases, you are destroyed. Bad relationships, you are destroyed. Restlessness and confusion, you are destroyed. Every evil work, destroyed. Strife, you are destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, addictions, destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Fear, destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise that everything that is contrary to our spiritual well-being, our physical well-being, our relational well-being, our financial well-being, our emotional well-being, anything that seeks to contradict your word that says that on this mountain you daily load us with benefits, let that thing be destroyed now. God of heaven, you lead captivity captive, and you give gifts unto men. Father, we thank you that today those that are rebellious are being changed. Therefore, they will receive gifts also. They will become changed men, changed women, changed children. Therefore, I declare now, in the name of Jesus, spirit of rebellion, you are destroyed. Destroyed, 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 destroyed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Every spirit that rebels against the word of God in my life is destroyed. Thank you, Lord, that an anointing to rebel against the agenda of Satan and his cohorts have been put inside of me. Hallelujah. I am violent by the Spirit of God. And Father, your word says, the violent take it by force. I receive the gifts to destroy everything that is contrary. My eyes are open to see clearly what does not belong in my life. And this day, no matter how pleasant or how good it looks, I declare that I will not accept any distractions in the name of Jesus. Distractions, you are removed from my life now in Jesus' mighty name. I will not be distracted by anything. My eyes are on my risen Lord, and by his grace, and because I behold my Lord, I receive the double portion of his Spirit, so I can do greater works because he's gone to be with the Father. In Jesus' name, as it was with Elijah and Elisha, so now it is with me, Jesus and me. I receive the double portion. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 The Bible says when Elijah received that double portion, there's some children that showed up. They were mockers. He called. The bear came out and chowed down on all of them. Today I declare that every mocking spirit be consumed in the name of Jesus and eradicated in the mighty name of Jesus. Mocking spirit, shut up! Be silenced forever in Jesus' mighty name. My past shall not mess up and mock my present. In the name of Jesus, I am a new man. I'm a new man. I'm a new man. The old is past. The new is here. In the mighty name of Jesus, I move by the authority of the Word of God, and I fulfill God's divine mandate for my life. I will accomplish all, and I shall hear my Father say, well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. 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 And amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to release you, those online, Remember to take the oil and anoint yourself. And the things that we talked about are going to be activated in your life supernaturally. Amen? Now, we're going to do this anointing service, and we're going to seal it with communion. Praise the Lord. This is the first Sunday of November. Somebody sent me a little saying that November is the month that starts with the word no. And today, everything that is not of God, we say no to it and will not be present in our lives. No poverty, no sickness, no strife. Hallelujah. No to everything that does not belong. And we say yes to everything that belongs in our life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory be to God.